Dean Krieger reads questions submitted by audience members to Gold, Roy, and McConnell. One of the first is about Pixar, and Roy responds, "We want the whole gang at Pixar back. They told us..." He pauses. "Forgive me for saying us. I still forget I don't work there. But the night before last, I heard that all of them in the blink of an eye will come back when Michael Eisner is no longer at Disney." Krieger reads another question. "If Eisner leaves, who should run it? Would you do it?" "No," Gold replies. "We think there is a short list of 5 to 10 people who could run it much better than Eisner." "Are you pandering to the Christian right? Are you tolerant to all?" "No and yes," Roy replies, eager to distance himself from some of the demonstrators outside. Abby and Tim Disney were particularly upset by what they consider fringe groups trying to attach themselves to their father's cause. "We need to get stronger after tomorrow," Gold continues. "We need to keep the drumbeat current." "Stay tuned," Roy injects. "We have 31,000 registered names so far, but we need more. I used to say, if we had enough rifles, we could have this over tomorrow." There is awkward laughter. Roy's daughter, Abby, visibly cringes at this gaffe. Roy later says he meant the comment in jest and regretted it as soon as the words were out of his mouth. "I think this is an unprecedented campaign in the history of American business," Gold says, trying to steer things back to a loftier plane. Krieger reads another question. "What are your feelings about Comcast?" "My absolute druthers would be for Disney to be a movie studio and theme parks with ancillary publishing and good merchandising things," Roy answers. "But I'm also practical enough to know there are other limbs, like ABC, that you don't just cut off. But if we run everything well, we'll be worth too much to entice other companies to take over." There is more prolonged applause, and then the band breaks into Henry Mancini's Moon River. Hundreds of people line up to get Roy Disney's autograph, including Lundquist and Mitchell. "It's not every day you get to shake the hand of a real Disney," Mitchell says. "Roy is so in touch with the company and what the people want out of this company. Now, I don't know if he was prepped, but he got it right. He knows us." Afterwards, Save Disney is host to a reception, with free hors d'oeuvres and soft drinks, beer, and wine. Roy mingles in the crowd, under a moving halo of television cameras, shaking hands and exchanging pleasantries. However shy by nature, he seems in his element among the Disney faithful. One of them is Michelle Kutch, a teacher in the Brandywine, Delaware schools. She's 7 months pregnant and has a 2-year-old. They've already visited Disney World twice and taken a Disney cruise. She drives a Volkswagen painted to look like Herbie in The Love Bug. "Thank God Roy has come to our rescue," she says. That night, the eve of the annual meeting, Eisner, Iger, and the Disney board gathered in the Four Seasons Hotel, a quiet refuge some distance from the convention center. The mood was grim. All the latest indications suggested that the vote was going to be worse than anyone had feared, far worse even than the 30% Disney had been quietly projecting to the media. The latest polling by Disney's proxy solicitors suggested the final result would be closer to 40%, the highest withhold vote against a chief executive ever recorded by a major American corporation.